Now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hopalong John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors, fishing, and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hopalong John Cassidy.
Well, thank you, Mark Larson, and welcome, Southern California, to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hopalong John Cassidy. It is our pleasure to welcome you to tonight's show. Yes, we are live tonight on AM 540 Radio Zion, as we are most Sunday nights, starting at 5:05 p.m. But if you notice, our producer, Otto, sometimes we get a couple of bonus minutes to be with you. So, Otto, thank you very much for giving us that extra time. You know, we know there's a lot of things going on. There's probably a ball game or two. So why don't you put the sound on mute and crank up Rod Reel Radio, because we've got a great show lined up for you tonight. This last show of 2020. Let me tell you what's on tap for you. We're going to have Chad Gerlich, and Chad is the owner-operator of Hook On Baits. We're right in the middle of trout season, and we're going to increase your chances of going out and having a great trout experience with the use of hookup baits. But also, Chad's going to relay to us his past fishing trips in the past couple of weeks that he has taken to the Colorado River, had an opportunity to fish between Glen Canyon Dam and Lee's Ferry all the way up in northern Arizona, and then also his recent trip last week to Pyramid Lake, where he was going after the giant cutthroats. We'll learn about the hookup baits, what colors to use, and how to present them, whether or not you're fishing in a lake environment or a stream environment. So Chad Gerlich will be with us. In the second hour of the show, we're going to have the former GM for the Fred Hall Shows, also an individual has been involved with the Captain Rollins Kids at Sea program, and also been an advisor to the CCA board of directors. Mr. Mike Lum will be with us. So we're going to catch up with what Mike is doing. So sit back and relax. Stan and Wendy right now are not with us. Stan is with his family in Texas. And Wendy is also taking care of her mom right now, making sure that she's provisioned and has everything she needs, and will be joining us later on in the show. Hey, before we get to our first guest, though, I want to thank you, the listeners, for staying with us on these live programs that we've had every Sunday night. And Rod and Reel Radio has been on the air since, the beginning of 2000, and maybe even starting off in 1999. I'm not exactly sure when Big Tuna Bill started it off, but, you know, it's been a grand tradition, and we appreciate all of you that have spent Sunday night to be with us. You know, it's not easy running a live show by any stretch of the imagination. Stan, Wendy, and I, we're just everyday putzes like you, but what we do have is we have a real desire to intermingle with the people in the fishing industry, whether it's freshwater and saltwater, and bring those guests to your attention, individuals that you might not get a chance to meet any time during the course of your fishing adventures. You know, let's just go over, if I will, and thank some of the people that have been with us just in 2020. We've had guys like Jimmy Houston. He's been with us not only for inspirational advice, but also he's come on with us and talked about his reminiscences of some of the giants in our industry, like when Forrest Wood passed away, and Jack McGinnis talking about them. But also guys like Roland Martin, 80 years old and still has a desire to go out and fish every day for those little green bass. Roland is also quite a redfish fisherman too. But other guys in the freshwater side, like that have been with us on a regular basis, Aaron Martin is sharing with us his health dilemmas. Dean Rojas, Mike Iaconelli, Kevin Van Dam. These fellas have been with us on Rod and Reel Radio this year, sharing with us their experiences. Boyd Duckett with Major League Fishing. Gary Klein, also with Major League Fishing, sharing with us their fishing experiences. And when it comes to some of the people in the industry, we've had guys like Gary Loomis talking about the history of fishing rods, what he's done in the industry, and what he's doing today, and he is still viable. Then we've had guys like Mike Ferrier. We just had Mike Ferrier on last week talking to us about the history of such organizations as the Avalon Tuna Club, but also his passion. And if you were on last week, you could see it was a passion for fishing collectibles and keeping the memory of fishing gear in light of everything that happens, because a lot of the stuff gets lost over the ages and gets lost by the next generation. We've got historians like Mike Ferrier that bring them to our attention. We had Greg Stokesbury this year telling us about his search for the blue button, how he earned the blue button, and what that meant to him. That was great stories. Guys like Pat McDonald that were former editors of Western Outdoor News. They stayed with us, and he was with us to not only talk about the Cabo Tuna jackpot, but also some of his reminiscence of being editor of Western Outdoor News. We've had some big skippers that we know in the saltwater side of our industry. Dave Marciano from Wicked Tuna telling us about his humble beginnings as not necessarily a tuna fisherman, but, you know, being a car salesman, an insurance salesman, and how he started as a commercial fisherman and how he got his break with Wicked Tuna. And some of the great skippers that we've had on during the course of the year, you know, guys like Captain Chuck Taft and Captain Andy Cates and Captain Frank Orsetti just to go on, that have always brought their stories and been happy to share with us their fishing experiences and help us do what they can to be better fishermen. And what better guy to help us have we had on a regular basis but Danny Wade from H&M Landing. Danny Wade's been with us talking about fishing the iron, fishing conditions, and then also what it took. He's now a lure designer with the DW1s from JWR Iron. So, Danny Wade, thank you very much for being with us. And how can we forget the times we have spent with Tommy Gomes? Tommy Gomes has been with us to talk about sustainable seafood and how we can bring more varieties of seafood onto our Build-A-Fair at home. And what he's gone through as a commercial fisherman and now as the fishmonger. So, Tommy Gomes, thank you always for being with us. And when it came to catching big fish, what better big fish fisherman did we have to tell us how to go about getting them than Billy Kelleman? Billy Kelleman has been out since the beginning of the year catching these big bluefin tuna off our coast. He gave us techniques for using balloons, using kites, rigging flying fish, what to look for. Billy Kelleman, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your experiences with us. But also on the freshwater side, a guy that always was willing to come aboard and tell us what he was into in the tournament ranks was Bill Egan from Western Outdoor News. Bill Egan is the director of not only the U.S. Open, but the California Open and the Arizona Open, and always bringing quality tournament events to the fishermen here of the Southwest. And Billy was always great, not only telling us about the events, but coming back at the end of the event and telling us about the results. And when it came to tournament anglers, yeah, we had some of the big name anglers, but we also had ladies like the Ebony Anglers from North Carolina that were a group of black women fishermen that actually went out and fished tournaments and did extremely well and won one of the first tournaments that they fished in. So congratulations to the Ebony Anglers. We also had Bill Semitel with us. Bill Semitel, not only a great tournament angler, but then an individual that would go out and give of himself with the junior big fish bass anglers. He ran an event that appealed to one fisherman from every state in the union, that one fisherman would qualify, and then he would bring him up to Idaho and fish in a big fish championship. Bill, thank you for your good work there. And Billy Chapman, we want to thank Billy Chapman. Not only did he share with us his experiences with bringing people to the Amazon to fish or bringing people down to Mexico and fishing at Lakes El Salto and Picachos, but he was also the host of the Junior Big Bass Championships out of Priest Lake, Idaho, at the Willows Lodge. Billy, thank you for giving so much of yourself. We also heard from our good friend, Phil Friedman, many times, telling us about his adventures in China, and then afterwards coming on back and starting up again in the fishing industry. We call him The Voice. He does the voiceover for a few of the advertisers that we have on Rod and Reel Radio. But Billy was but Phil Friedman was also with us to tell us about not only what he's done, but what he is doing when it comes to podcasts. So Phil Friedman, welcome back to Southern California. And yeah, we have a lot of great sponsors that have been with us for a long, long time. People like Elko and Ford, but also the new sponsors like Yamamoto Custom Baits and Lands End Charters, Turner's Outdoors. We want to thank those people. You know, we pay for time to be on the air. You know, we're not employees of Radio Zion. So it's with the help of sponsors like these people that you'll be listening to during the course of the show that help us keep on the air. But again, we want to thank you, our listeners, for giving us the encouragement to be here, because we present a show that is just not an infomercial for our sponsors, even though we like you to patronize them. But as you can see, we go around the fishing industry bringing you stories that we think you'll be interested in, whether it's from Alaska or the Pacific Northwest, fishing the High Sierras, our local waters here in Southern California. If we bring a story for you like Babes on the Bay with tournament director, Jen Mattson with us, telling us about an all-women's tournament that she runs in Texas, or whether or not we're talking about fishing big tuna on the East Coast or going down fishing the East Cape or fishing Manzanillo like Jose Angel is doing now with Citrus Outdoor Adventures for the winters. We bring you all around the country and literally almost the world, bringing you information live every Sunday night here on Rod and Reel Radio. But most importantly, before they get on, I want to thank Stan and Wendy, because this show would be nothing without Stan and Wendy, all the expertise they bring to the show. Stan, through the insurance company and the saltwater fishing. Wendy, through her fishing and her hunting and her work with Iserline. These people have really contributed a lot to Rod and Reel Radio, and the show wouldn't be anything without them. So I want to thank you, the listeners, for staying with us, and thanks for staying with me in the first segment so we can thank some of these people that have been with us in 2020. 2021, it's going to be a new year. There's going to be new guests to talk about, new companies to deal with, and we hope that you'll stay with us every Sunday night here on AM 540 Radio Zion for the best in fishing information. And if you miss any of these shows, just go to RodandReelRadio.com, go to the archive page, and you'll be able to go back at least 12 years and listen to past shows and some of these guests that we mentioned tonight. All right, guys, I'm going to break a little bit early, and we're going to go to a commercial break. So coming up next is going to be Mr. Chad Gerlich. Chad is owner-operator of Hookup Baits, We're going to talk about trout fishing, so stay tuned. Chad Gerlich will be with us after these messages.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success of the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish at tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
We all like to travel, whether it's for business or it's pleasure. But one thing we all like to do is save money. Well, we got a travel tip for you. Bill Boyce has put together a travel website for you that can save you a lot of money. You can become your own travel agent. The site is bookwithboyce.com. You're going to save yourself 5 to 35% on all nationally advertised travel rates. You want to go to Mexico? You want to go to Hawaii? Bookwithboyce.com can offer you outstanding prices. And here's the deal. There's no surprises for accommodations, rental cars, or activities. So try bookwithboyce.com now and thank Bill Boyce later on.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, you're also helping yourself? Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood to help someone else and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Well, we are right in the middle of trout season right now, and as you know, I run a shop in Lakeside, and we're right in the middle of a few lakes here, Santee Lakes and Lake Jennings, where a lot of people come in asking for trout information. And we have a variety of techniques that we can show them. But I've got to tell you, there is one lure that is out there that I think consistently catches trout and other fish more than any other lure, and especially if you are fishing with young fishermen that don't necessarily have the patience to sit around and soak a bait or the experience to know how to use a rod and reel, this next guest has the bait that you should be looking for. Let me introduce him to you. It's Chad Gerlich. He's the owner-operator of Hookup Baits. Chad, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, good evening, John. You always have the best introductions, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you don't know when it's going to stop, and then we got to go to commercial break again. Thanks, Chad. Hey, you know, Chad, Hookup Baits has almost become synonymous when it comes to one of the go-to baits to use for freshwater and saltwater fishing. It's a locally produced product here. Before we get into, you know, the techniques of using it for trout fishing, and I just don't want to limit it to trout fishing because hookup baits are just so much more versatile. But hookup baits actually started in your head as a trout bait. Can you just give us a little background on that?
Well, basically, I've been a tube jig trout fisherman for almost 40 years now. I mean, I've been fishing. I started fishing tube baits for trout way back in the Crappie John days when I was about, you know, 12, 13 years old, and been fishing tube jigs for trout ever since. So it's kind of one of the originals around California that started using tube baits. You know, I was part of the original group of guys that started using them way back when. So it's always been my go-to for trout fishing. And then, yeah, when I decided to make my own baits and got the design in my head of making a bait, it was, you know, designed around a trout bait. You know, you fish the small bait and a small profile, and you know, most of my tube bait fishing has been for trout, but I used to use them in the saltwater a lot, you know, years ago, back when we used to have those big sand bass runs. We had to use, you know, we had a 1/2 ounce and 3/4 ounce, you know, 4-inch tube baits we'd use for those, that, you know, Crappie John also made. So it's been, you know, a long time ago we started using tube baits for trout. It just within the last 10 years is where it really took off and got popular and is, you know, became the go-to for trout fishing kind of thing. So, yeah, when I designed hookup baits, it was with trout in mind, but also had in mind I was going to use it for everything else, you know. So we actually just pulled up into my driveway. We just got off the water today and absolutely destroyed the sand bass and calicos today. So let's talk about versatility. You know, there you have it.
That's the hookup baits. Now, you know, since we're going to start off right now with a little bit of information about using the hookup baits as a trout bait, I know you just came back from some great trips that you were targeting trout. And I want to talk about the trip that you had a few weeks ago with Bill Boyce on the Colorado River, where you were fishing the stretch between Glen Canyon Dam and Lee's Ferry. And that, I'm sure you were using hookup baits on, but that is also pretty fast-moving water. So tell us about the baits that you used and the techniques that you used in that fast-moving water to catch trout. And how'd you do?
Well, this year I really put an effort into spreading the hookup baits, you know, word into the wild trout world. You know, I spent, you know, basically a month straight, you know, not a month straight, but a month total in Utah, northern Utah this year, you know, multiple trips, you know, catching wild brown trout and wild cutthroats and rainbows. And then the first experience Bill Boyce got with trout fishing, I went up and met Bill up in Oregon. We fished a lake up in Oregon, Upper Klamath Lake, and caught some really nice native rainbows up to 10 pounds, you know, multiple ones up to 10 pounds native. So that's where Bill's like, oh my gosh, these things even work just as good on, you know, trout, you know. And then that area of Lee's Ferry below Lake Powell, they put that bounty on those brown trout there. They want to cut down the amount of brown trout because the brown trout are not native to that section of river. You know, just the regular rainbows are native. And the bigger and more aggressive browns were getting, I guess, too much. You know, and it was really cool with Arizona Fish and Game. Instead of just going through and shocking the water and netting up the brown trout, they pay $25 per brown trout. That's over 20 or over 6 inches to, you know, for anglers to go catch and make a little money while they go catch brown trout. And so Bill gave me a call and says, hey, you know, how excited Bill is about everything. Hey, with your baits, we can go load up and, you know, actually pay for the trip just by catching brown trout. You know, so it's a section of the river I've always wanted to fish. I've never fished it before. Bill fished it before, but with a fly rod, you know, years before. And so we went there to see how much bounty money we can make on catching brown trout. And so, yeah, we went up on fish the river. We brought the mini hub boat, which is owned by Bill, the power skiff, little power 15-foot power skiff he has, which has absolutely worked perfect for that little area of river. It's about, I think it's 12 miles of river from Lee's Ferry up to as far as you can go up to the dam. And that whole stretch that, you know, it took a whole day to fish that whole stretch of 12 miles once we ran up there. And basically the 116 size, which is just barely over 2 inches long bait, 1/16th ounce. The black and gold, I think, was the go-to, which is the black and gold is really the go-to anywhere you go. Black and gold and white shad are just hard to beat just about anywhere I went this whole summer with the wild trout stuff. But we caught, I mean, we threw around 150 or so regular rainbows, and the average rainbow there are all like 14 to 16 inch. So they're decent-sized trout and just absolutely beautiful, you know, totally native. And you only got 7 browns, but, you know, Bill caught one that was 7 pounds. I caught one that was 5 pounds, and I caught another one that was 4. Then the other ones were, you know, pounders. But we got a 7 total, so, you know, paid for a portion of the trip anyway. But and it was kind of weird, you know, killing a 7-pound and a 5-pound brown trout kind of thing. We both felt bad about it, but it was one of those things, like, if we don't kill it, the next guy come through and catches it, he's going to kill it and collect his $25, you know, so... You know, and that's what they have people there to do, is to limit, you know, get that population brown trout out. So,
how was your presentation, Chad? How was your presentation? How did you present the bait in moving water? I mean, did you let it mm-hmm. drift? Did you cast and retrieve it, or what?
It's all cast and retrieve. And it's mostly, you know, just we try to get the boat right on the edge. We've learned that it was the edges of the river. You know, we tried out fishing out in the middle of the river, and it's the eddies and the edges is where we got most of our fish. And it's just, you're doing a lot of casts and just got a little bit of retrieve. You know, you're retrieving it maybe 15, 20 yards, and then you're reeling back in, recasting. You know, and so you're doing a lot of short casts, and you're just working a lot of little eddies and pockets, kind of thing like that. And that was the technique, basically, is, you know, it wasn't a long slow. It wasn't just drifting it. It was a lot of just hitting little spots behind rocks and eddies, you know, and just doing that over and over and over again. And there's a lot of, you get in some sections where every time you cast it, you got bit, and then you get on some where you got to cast a few times before you got bit. But, you know, but we're catching fish pretty consistently the whole time. As we're floating down, we never anchored or anything. But there's a couple times where we beached the boat and got out and walked and fished, you know, from shore a little bit, you know, fishing from the boat and just floating down and just fishing quick and hitting the little eddies and pockets was the best way to go there.
So you were using a spinning outfit? Were you using 4-pound test, 6-pound, or what?
Basically, all my trout fishing all this summer was the spinning rod, 1,000 Shimano reel, 7/6, 2 to 8 pound Fenwick rod. And I really like that nano feel, for trout fishing. I've been using it for at least 10 years now. I used a 4 or 6 pound nano feel made by Berkeley. And then I tie about a 5 to 8 foot piece of fluorocarbon, 4 pound or 6 pound leader. Most of the time it's 4 pound, leader onto there and just straight tie the jig. And usually the 16 has pretty much been the all around work everywhere, the 1/16th ounce. Sometimes when you get the more finicky trout or you fish in real shallow water, you do the 1/32nd. But then the 1/8th ounce, actually, I've noticed one thing I learned this summer fishing a lot of native fish is the 1/8th ounce, which is, you know, a bigger bait for trout. It's that bait actually up in like in Oregon, that's what they preferred. He got way better on the 1/8th ounce than he did 16th. And then Green River up in Utah, for those browns, they preferred the 1/8 ounce also. So that was kind of cool, to fishing a bigger bait, you know, for trout, you know, the 1/8 ounce, which is a 3-inch bait. So
was the consensus of opinion, did you guys really do well? Is it that the fishing for the wild trout up there is just good because it doesn't get a lot of pressure, or what were... What did you leave there with when it came to the fishing conditions and how well you did?
you go anywhere with Bill Boyce, he knows everybody and anybody. So we actually stayed at a place where the lodge and ran a guide service out of there, and he knew his personal friends with the guide, the father and son both that were both guides, and they both said the fishing has actually been really slow lately. And then talking to guys at the, there's quite a few people out there searching for brown trout. So when you get back to the lawn tramp, everyone's like, how many brown trout? Yeah. How many brown trout? And
sure.
And me and Bruce, the first day we came back, and me and Bill was like, yeah, we got five. And people were just like, what? You got five? And then talking to them, people that have been going there for years, and they're like, yeah, we usually catch 20, 30 trout. We only caught five today, or we only caught 10. And on that first day, we caught 50 or so, so it's like, well, I guess we did pretty good, and then you give them some hookup baits and they're happy as could be. And actually a couple of the guys we seen the next day, and they threw the hookup baits and are like, oh my God, these things are amazing. The typical hookup bait thing we do, we show them tell them what they do, and then give them some and let them experience for themselves. And then they become customers for life.
Right. Hey, so, and just quickly, let's stay on the Colorado River. You've had a chance to actually go down and fish the lower Colorado below Boulder Dam out of Willow Beach. That mm-hmm. was an area that I thought was fished out from trout because of the stripers there, but you've had some luck there yourself.
Yeah, it's really weird. That area, I went down there on a solo kayak trip by myself one day, whereas windy everywhere in California or anywhere you can fish was blowing out, and that was the only place I can find in the western United States that the wind wasn't blowing super hard, and plus it's down in the canyon. So I just took off with my kayak and fished it one day, and I ended up catching four stripers, and they're all 15 to 25 pounds. And then when my arm gets tired from throwing the big trout hookup bait I was throwing, it's a big 8.5-inch bait, looking that I made to look like a trout, then you paddle up to shore, and all the trout there live like right up on shore, like within 5 feet of water, because they don't dare go out in the middle of the river. Even though they're all five to 8 pounds, they're still a trout, and they're still scared of those stripers. They still get harassed, so they live right up the shore. Then you sight fish these big trout, and I was able to get a limited trout, and they're all 5 to 8 pounds, really nice trout there. So, that's the only fish trout you see. Is they're big ones or you see none. So I've been there multiple other times where, you can't find a trout, but then you'll find just a couple beaches that have a couple living on it. I basically got five bites and caught all five of them, and luckily they're all really nice ones. So,
Hey, Chad,
it's pretty good.
We got to take a break right now. Can I ask you to stay on with us just a little longer?
Of course, John.
Yeah, because I want to find out also fishing hookup baits in Stillwater, and you fished one of the lakes that I think, when it comes to our trout fishermen, that's on everybody's bucket list. You fished it twice this year, Pyramid Lake, and we're going to want to hear all about that.
And I'm going back this week.
Oh, you dog. Hey, we're going to take a break. We're speaking with Chad Gerlich from Hookup Bait. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages. Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to LensandCharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience.
Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419. Or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com.
Rod & Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Rod & Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to Rod & Reel Radio. Now, joining us is my co-host for this evening. She's the National Sales Manager for Iserline, represents many other fine products in the fishing industry. She is also an expert fisherman and hunter in her own right, Miss Wendy Toshihara. Wendy, welcome to the show, ma'am.
Oh, thank you. Sorry for being so late, but I think there's a thermometer shortage. I went to 4 stores and couldn't find any.
Well, Wendy, it's great. Hey, we're going to continue with the conversation that we're having with an individual I know you know, Chad Gerlich from Hookup Baits. Chad, welcome again to the show.
Hey, good evening, Wendy.
Hey, Chad.
Hey.
You know, Chad, before we took a break, you were telling us about fishing hookup baits in moving waters, you know, the Colorado mm-hmm. River, which is, you know, on just about everybody's bucket list if they're a trout fisherman. But you've had a chance a couple of times, and you say you're going next week to a lake that is on everybody's bucket list for catching big trout, and that is Pyramid Lake. And tell us about Pyramid Lake, how you plan to fish it, and what hookup baits are you using there, and what technique are you using that might be a little bit different than fishing in moving water to fish a lake like Pyramid?
Yeah. Well, it's like, yeah, you're talking about the moving water. I also spent two long days on the Green River, which is a bucket list, you know, northern Utah. And that's really fast water. And it's the same technique, the, you know, short cast into hitting the eddies, you know, over and over again. And then, yeah, I did a Pyramid last week for 2.5 days of fishing. And why it is a bucket list for people that want to catch big trout. In 2.5 days of fishing, I caught 6 trout that were all 12 to 17 pounds. I got a 17 and 2 15s, and then, you know, a couple more. They're all 12 and 13s. And then your average trout is usually about 4 to 8 pounds is average. I mean, so it's if you want to catch big trout, that's where you go. I mean, it's only place that I know of where you can catch double-digit trout, you know, just about every day you fish there, you know, if not multiple double-digit trout. And you can catch them all the way up to 24 pounds, you know, that's biggest so far this season has been 24 pounds. So,
now, for guests that aren't familiar with Pyramid Lake or that fish, let's say, here in Southern California, where most of the trout are in a put-and-take type of situation. In other words, they are put into the lake, and then we come along and take them out. Pyramid Lake's a little bit different. These are native trout, if I'm not mistaken. But does that lake, to the best of your knowledge, also get stocked?
Yeah, it is actually, I mean, they have some native fish still there, but not many of them. But their stocking program there is really amazing. They have 2 hatcheries that are actually attached to the lake. One's attached to the lake, and the one's attached to the Truckee River just up from the lake. Now, I actually have a guide friend that I fished one day with last week that, you know, just me and him on the boat all day. I asked him all these questions. So I'm just learning some information I just learned the other day. And that they have the trout from the lake swim up into the hatchery, actually, when they're going upstream to spawn, and they spawn them out. Then they raise the trout until they're about 8 inches long, and then they put them back into the lake by the thousands. And so the trout are kind of native. They get a little assistance of being hatched and raised to a little bit, you know, of size. Then they're put back in the lake. So they're in the lake from 8 inches, and then, you know, they're these Lachlan cutthroats is the strain, which is, you know, one of the fastest growing trout there is. So within a couple years, they're up to 8 pounds, you know, and then, you know, the 20 pounders are only like 5 years old kind of thing. So they grow very fast. Just big headed, big mouth, big gnarly looking trout, big teeth on them, and really aggressive. If you haven't been there, you gotta give it. These trout are pretty amazing. And once you go there and start catching trout, it gets very addictive. Like I said, that's why I'm going back again this week. I have a 20 pounder set. You know, I got close. The biggest one last week, like I said, it was like 17, 18 pounds. And it's just, I want to get a 20 pounder. That's my goal this season. So, it becomes an addiction. These fish just, you know, that lake and the fish just, addict you. You crave going back and catching another one of those big ones.
I got a question for you.
Yeah, go on, Wendy.
What pound test are you using when you're catching those monsters?
Well, I'm the dummy that uses 4 pound test for them, but it's, I caught a 15 pounder when I was with my guide buddy. He's been guiding there for 6 years now, and he uses 15 on it. You know, he mostly does fly rods, but he guides both spinning and fly rods. And, he recommends 8 to 15 pound line. He said that's just about what everybody uses on the lake. And I'm there. I had one rod with 4 pound and one rod with 6 pound. And of course, the 15 pounder bites the 4 pound rod. And he was just sitting there tripping out that I was catching a 15 pounder on 4 pound, which, you know, actually my two biggest fish of the weekend, I both caught on 4 pound. And I caught, you know, then I caught a few on the 6 pound. And it's the 4 or 6 pound nanofield to 4 or 6 pound fluoro is what I'm using. But after that trip, those fish were a little bit of a handful to handle on those rods. And so I went and bought me a instead of 1,000 size reel, I got a 2,500 and put 8-pound nanofill, and then going to have an 8-pound leader and a 6 to 12-pound rated rod instead of a 2 to 8 because they are a handful. If I do get end up hooking that 20 to or more, I don't know if I'll be able to get it in with the 4-pound setup I had. So, those 15-pounders were taking a good 15, 20 minutes at least. And, you're puckered the whole time hoping you're going to get that fish up because they do a really tease thing. You know, when you hook these big trout, they really don't even know they're hooked and they'll swim right to the boat. So you get a really good look at them. So you get to see what you have on the line. And then they take off and they pull a whole bunch of line off and then they start fighting. So they're knowing what you have on the line because you got a good look at them. They look even bigger in the water than they do when you finally catch them. So, it's a nerve-wracking thing. So I would go there with no less than 6. 8-pound, I think, would be, 6 and 8-pound. I would have 2 setups.
Did you increase the size of the hookup baits? And
no,
what type actually, of technique did you use to catch these fish?
Surprising, these fish want a small bait. I mean, it's and even my guide buddy, I talked to him. This was probably my 8th or 10th time there, and every time I've gone, the 1/16 black and gold has been the number one bait. Still a 2-inch bait. And you're catching these big old huge trout on this 2-inch bait. And before I went, I asked my buddy. He's been guiding there all season. What size baits, what colors, and he says 2-inch. And he likes white colors, colors baits with white on them. And, just that 2-inch bait is what they want. I caught a good handful of them on the 1/8 bait. In all season, he uses hookup baits when he's spinning customers or when he goes out and does his own fishing. He's been throwing quarters. And just being, he's getting some here and there, but nothing like the day when I fished with him. And I started with a 16, and he was like, wow, okay. And then he started using 16. He's like, wow, I would never have thought to throw this small bait for these fish, but that's what they liked. This 1/16 black and gold is on every trip I've taken to Pyramid. Really, all you need to bring with you is a 1/16 black and gold and a 1/16 shad white. And then maybe some 1/8 ounce with you, too. And also at that lake, one of the regulations, it's artificial only, barbless hook, and scentless baits. And that's where I came out with my scentless line of baits. I started doing a lot of this native trout fishing, the Green River, a lot of this streams up in the Sierras, streams and lakes, and Craw Lake goes to artificial. All these things, the wild trout type of fisheries want unscented baits nowadays also. So we have a hookup bait line of baits that are all unscented. So that's make sure if you're going that direction, to order the unscented baits also. So.
And what technique did you use? I mean, was it a dead sticking? Was it a retrieving? Was it more of a jigging motion or what, Chad?
It was exactly as long as cast you can get. So make sure you have a lot of braid on your line, your reel all the way to the top so you can get a super long cast. You want to cover a lot of water. Lake Pyramid is a humongous lake, so there's a lot of water to cover. So make sure you're covering a lot of water. That's one of the ways of getting more bites. So but as much braid as you can get away with on your reel, at least a 7/6, if not the new rod I just bought is a 9-foot rod, actually. So I can get super far cast. And you're just giving it a 10 count. Usually the 10 count was the way to get bit. Give it a nice about 10 count for that 16, which is gets you about 10 to 15 feet down. And it's a slow wind. It's just like if you watch my instructional videos on our website or our YouTube page at Hookup Baits. It's the standard trout retrieve I use for stock trout or any trout. It's a slow wind with a steady bounce on the end of with the tip of your rod, and that's what they like. It's just really getting it in front of one, and they eat it basically. And then when I fished that day on the boat, I fished 2 days on a ladder and 1 day on a boat. And on the boat, actually, what really worked is he had a trolling motor, and we would stop and fish an area where he thought. And then as he would go to another area, just on the trolling motor, I threw it out there and trolling it, and that was working really good, just doing a slow troll with a trolling motor and trolling that 116 bait out there. And that guy probably hit more than anything that day. So just a trolling motor on half speed and bringing it along real slow and popping it that steady bounce as you're trolling it kind of
all
thing.
Right.
So that
Chad,
worked really well,
we're
too.
We're coming close to the end of our time with you. Fishing the local lakes here in Southern California, whether it be the Santa Ana River Lakes or somewhere like Santee, Jennings, you make a whole bunch of other colors and colors that people don't necessarily think about using work really well. Tell us quickly about the baits that you recommend for our local waters here.
Yes, well, it's kind of a weird thing. It's something I really noticed this year. When you're fishing native trout, they want the bigger baits, the 16s, the 1/8s. I hardly even touched a 1/32 this whole summer. But now you're fishing the stock trout in the local lakes, it's 1/32 ounce all day long. That's what they seem. Well, it actually seems like the stock trout are a little bit more finicky than aggressive wild trout. So 1/32 is usually what you want to go with, unless you want a farther cast or you want to work the bait a little bit faster, you do the 16. And like you said, everybody has their favorite colors. They all really work. The staples that we sell a lot of has always been the black and gold. Black and gold has always worked for any trout, no matter where in the country I've went, stocked and native. But the shad white worked really good. Yellow and white is very popular for stock trout. A lot of people like the glow green. A lot of people like the orange. I mean, the pink is actually another really good one. But it's what the one you have the most confidence in is probably the one you're going to catch the trout on. Really, what it comes down to, and it's the same technique. Usually 4 pound, the stock trout. I use my 4 pound setup, the 4 pound anfield, 4 pound braid, to fluoro, and the same technique. It's usually about a 5 count, sometimes a 10 count, and do that same steady retrieve with a steady bounce. That's all it takes.
All right. Now, hey, let's just get away from trout for a little bit. You happened to mention that you were out on the water today. Here we are, the beginning of winter, and you said you had a great trip. Tell us a little bit about what you were using and how you were fishing it, Chad.
Well, this is actually my favorite time of year to fish bass. I mean, we went out 2 weeks ago, the week before I went to Pyramid, and we caught, we actually used the clicker that Wayne Cotto gave me. They said, use this, kind of thing, and we actually used the clicker, for real, and we caught 425 bass that day, and 4 guys, and multiple 5 and 6 pounders. I mean, it just, this time of year for bass, saltwater bass fishing is great. And then we just went out to, then went down to the pipe today just for a few hours, and again, caught a bunch of 4 and 5 pounders. There's 4 of us on the boat. I'd say we didn't use the clicker today for some reason, but I'd say we probably caught 150 bass today, a half day of fishing. So, if you want to go out and bass fish, this time of the year is my favorite. That's when the big ones stack up on the outside structure spots, and they love the hookup baits. 1 ounce and 1.5 is what we used almost all day, both single and double rig on 25 pound.
Okay, and obviously a little bit heavier line for that, maybe a little heavier rod. I know you still use spinning rods. You're the expert with a spinning rod.
Mm-hmm. It's the hookup, it just worked better on a spinning rod. It's just plain and simple. Especially for the saltwater bass, it's the better the sink on the bait, the more you get bit. And nothing, the freer line you have going to the bait, the better the bait swims. And so a spinning reel full of braid where the line just falls off the reel, it doesn't get any freer than that, so you get the best swim with your bait as it's sinking. And like I said, 80% of our bites are on the sink. And that's, one of the main reasons why we use the spinning reels. And, it's a medium-heavy, 8-foot Shimano with a 5,000 Saragossa is kind of our go-to for the whole team here. 30 to 50 Power Pro 8-strand and 25-pound fluoro is kind of our standard setup.
Chad, if people want to find out more about hookup baits, if they can't find them in their areas, or maybe they want to find out about the unscented baits or some of the new products that you have in your line, where's the best place to go? And then you're also talking about some of the videos that you have. How can we find you?
at the hookupbaits.com. You know, we would rather people go to the tackle shops, you know, like the Angler's Arsenal and any of the, you know, where we got over 100 or around 100 retail locations down in Southern California that carry our products, support your local tackle shop. But for the specialty items, the unscented stuff and apparel and, you know, and then, of course, you can find the whole line of products. And then plus all our instructional videos on everything we get asked on a regular basis, we have an instructional video for it, usually about 2 instructional videos for it. And plus a bunch of other cool videos. And you can get a link to those from our website at hookupbaits.com or just straight to YouTube under hookupbaits, both. So.
All right, Chad Gerlich, hey, first of all, stay safe going up to Lake Pyramid again. I know you've had great weather for the past couple of times you've been up there. Let's hope it holds out for you, sir.
Well, a great weather at Pyramid is 20 is a low and 45 is a high, so that's great weather, I guess you could call that. But we drove in snow all the way there last time. It's all the way through the Bishop until we got on the other side of the mountain. We were driving in snow, so that was a little sketchy, but... But, yeah, as long as there's no wind, we're good. So, and we're
Chad,
doing a
thanks
kayak
a lot
this
for spending
week. We're doing kayak fishing.
The time with
week,
us. So. Please give our best regards to JoJo and all the people there at Hookup Baits. And thank you for spending some time with us. I look forward to hearing about how you do in Lake Pyramid when you get back, okay?
Oh, definitely. And thank
have
you,
a happy
John.
Yeah. Oh, right. Chad Gerlich from Hookup Baits. Hey, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, Mike Lum is going to be with us. Stay tuned. We're going to catch up with all the things that have been happening with Mike. But first, these messages.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner's store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success of the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish at tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart, the San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit sandiegobloodbank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
Wendy Toshihara and I, we welcome you back to the second hour of Rod and Reel Radio. Stan's not with us right now. He's spending time with his family in Texas, and we look forward to having Stan back real soon. Well, what can I say about our next guest? He has worn many hats in this industry. Some of the ones more recently, he has probably helped more small businesses get a foothold in this industry by being the general manager of the Fred Hall shows. He's also probably helped put more kids on the water than anyone I can think of through working with his Captain Rollins Kids at Sea program. And in his spare time, besides trying to go out and catch some fish, he's also serving on the CCA California Board of Directors, helping Wayne Cotto out over there. Let's introduce this gentleman and to our listening audience. If you don't know him already, it's Mr. Mike Lum. Mike, welcome back to Rod and Reel Radio, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Happy holidays. Happier New Year upcoming for everyone. I hope everyone had a safe and Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, and we appreciate those good words. Mike, just real quickly, for people that aren't familiar with Mike Lum or some of the stuff that you've done up until this period of time, just give us a brief recount on how you got involved in the industry and developed this passion that you have for not only fishing, but helping out fishermen and then also people wanting to start businesses in the fishing industry.
Well, I got my start in the hunting fishing business at a very young age of 16 years old, working for Sam Fowler, who had the Sam Fowler gun room. And then I stayed with him for 6 or 7 years. And then I moved on to Andrews, which shortly thereafter became Turner's. And I was with Turner's from the time that they had 4 locations all the way up to a dozen locations. I was with them for right at 20 years, serving as vice president of the company and was there through their major growth years. And then I left that company and became a vice president of merchandise for the Western Hoagie Company. And that's a company that the public wouldn't be very much aware of, but the industry certainly is. And it was a wholesale distributing company, servicing all of the independent retailers and chain stores with fishing tackle and hunting products. I eventually ended up at the on staff with the Fred Hall shows, and that was 19 years ago. Having been with Turner's for all those years, I had been an active exhibitor at the shows and got to know the Hall family very well during those years and had a lot of expertise that I had acquired over those years of what retailers specifically needed to do at consumer shows to increase their sales. And so I've been able to use the experience I had as an exhibitor for all those years to share with other exhibitors over these last 19 years. And so it became a very easy and natural transition and something that I just have always enjoyed and it's very rewarding seeing a new company, a startup company, who doesn't really know what to do, and they're kind of intimidated by the size and scope of the shows, and to walk them through that process and make it as easy for them as possible. And I think we've been able to do that many times over the years.
Wow. You know, Mike, being with the Fred Hall shows for so long, you got to know the founder of the Fred Hall shows, obviously, Fred. Can you quickly give us some of the remembrances that you have of Fred and his And what was the drive that made him work so hard to make these shows so successful?
Well, yeah, I knew Fred actually long before I really met and got to know Bart. Fred was actually instrumental in Turner's doing as well as they did at the shows. You got to remember, it was a different era back then, and selling at consumer shows was not customary, and in some cases wasn't allowed. Manufacturers didn't want selling going on at the shows because they felt that they had a very large network of retail stores that they wanted to support, and by going to a show that had some retailers there, made it look like they were favoring those retailers. And so many manufacturers said they would not exhibit at a show if there was selling going on. Now, that seems so completely different than today. Manufacturers today would say, I refuse to do a show if there's not selling of my product at the show. So it's exactly the opposite. But during those days, Fred and I had a very good understanding to work together. I wanted to promote the shows and get as many people there as possible. And he knew that by having Turner's involved, we would bring with us not only a large customer base following us, but we would convince manufacturers that selling at a show was a good thing and that they ought to come help us. And so that's exactly what happened. And we maintained that relationship throughout all the years that I was at Turner's. When Fred passed away, and 2 years later, I ended up going on staff. It was like nothing ever ended. It was like I'd been involved in the show for 40 years now, because of those two positions merging together the way they did. And Fred was the ultimate showman. He understood consumer shows better than anybody I've ever known. He understood promotion. He understood how to entertain people and how to give them an experience. In fact, quite often back in those days, we would hear the expression that the Fred Hall shows are not shows. They're a happening. And that was Fred's word. They're a happening. If you weren't there, you were missing out on not just a show. You were missing out on the heartbeat of the fishing industry. And through that attitude and a lot of support from quality exhibitors, the show became the largest and most successful fishing tackle show in the entire country. Bart likes to say that it's the largest in the world, which technically it is, but just to put it in perspective that most of us can get our mind around, there is nothing like a Fred Hall show anywhere in the country. There are many sports shows, but there is no consumer show that draws the support from the manufacturers with the large manufacturer trade show style booths and the just sheer volume of people and the longevity. Most people feel like they're missing out on a tradition if they don't come to the show. And so it is much more than just a show. It is truly a happening.
Well, you know, we've had Bart and yourself on the show many times during the past few years, and a couple of times when we've gone over the history of the show with Bart, I think he almost single-handedly gives you credit for making it possible for dealers to sell at the show, because as you said, the show wasn't always set up like that. So you were extremely instrumental in helping dealers like myself and Stan and other people like that be at the show and just make it a much more rounded show for the consuming public.
Well, it evolved. You know, like I said, it was a different era the time frame I'm talking about, that was just the way it was. And you know, back in those days, it was the exhibitors that it was the manufacturing exhibitors that made that were kind of the heartbeat of the show. You know, if you couldn't get manufacturers there to show their goods, you really didn't have a show. And so they were the heartbeat. And if they said that they wanted it a certain way, pretty much that's what they were going to get. And that's how it worked for a long time. Keep in mind, the show has been in existence in one form or another. This would have been the 2021 will represent the 75th year that the Fred Hall shows have occurred consecutively in the LA marketplace. And that's a very, very long time. But obviously a lot of changes and evolution takes place for something to last that long. And my relationship with Fred back in those days was solid, and we talked regularly, and we would see each other at industry events, and I thought we worked together very well. He always supported what I was trying to do. I always tried to support what he was doing, and together it worked out really well.
Now, and, you know, I have to say, Mike, you're talking about the support that you got, but as a vendor, the support that we got, especially from you, was amazing. Anytime we ever needed anything, you were on that walkie-talkie or you were walking somewhere to go get it done. So thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate hearing that, Wendy. I sometimes don't pay as much attention to that as maybe you do, because to me that's just what the job entailed, and I would do anything within my power and within reason to make sure that issues got resolved as quickly as possible. And like I said, having been on the other side of the fence for a long time, I knew what types of things were critically important, and timeliness was certainly one of them. The clock's ticking the entire time you're at that show, and so we don't have a lot of time to say, well, hey, I need to take care of this, and then, you know, the next afternoon you have to ask me again. That just isn't good enough. So that's just the way I always looked at it and approached it. I always tried to take every customer. It didn't matter whether it was a single booth, new guy, never been at the show before, or somebody that had a very large booth that had been there for years. In my eye, they were equally important to the well-being of the show, and that's just how I approach it. And obviously, for a lot of businesses, that helped. I've had a lot of very great comments and contacts this last week of people pointing things out and reminding me of things that honestly I just kind of forgot about, but they didn't. It was things that meant a lot to them and helped them over that hurdle of doing that for the first time. And then, like you said, you know, your companies have been involved in the shows for years, and I would hope that I treated each and every one of them the same way.
Well, I got to tell you, Mike, you made everyone feel like they were an important part of the show, whether or not they were taking up just a 10 by 10 booth or whether or not they were taking up a whole corner of the arena. And I don't think a lot of people realize, especially like going up to a show like Long Beach. And if any of these numbers are proprietary, please don't disclose them. But how many square feet did the Long Beach show actually encompass, and how many individual vendors were you actually dealing with to make that show go?
Well, it varied from year to year, depending on the size. You know, remember, a lot of our floor square footage of the floor is taken up with boats dealers, and those fluctuate from year to year depending on inventory availability and how many dealers are actually involved in the show and how soon we sell out of space. All those kinds of things affect the number of exhibitors. But just to give you an idea, dealing with individual companies in the neighborhood of 500, sometimes more, 600, if they're more smaller ones each year. And then, of course, there's a rotation there. Some manufacturers didn't come every year. Some, for whatever reason, weren't able to make the show. So it usually had something to do with personnel changes, and the personnel change didn't communicate that. So we would lose some each year, and then obviously have an opportunity to let new exhibitors in. But quite often, you know, you're interacting with four or five brand new exhibitors that are just asking questions to fill the hole that might be left by somebody that's not there. And then you get that new person in, and they're happy with it. And then the person that dropped out for 1 year calls for the following year and says, I don't know how we dropped the ball on this last year, but we got to get back in the show. Well, you can see it's kind of like musical chairs, right? When the music stops, you got to have a seat or you're out of the game. And although we never, ever wanted to tell someone, sorry, you just can't participate, we'd put people on waiting list, and quite often we were calling them hours before the show would open and saying, hey, I've got an opportunity to get you in. Do you still want to do it? And that went on pretty much every single year. We utilize every available space in that entire building. And that building with the indoor, outdoor arena and all that, is in the neighborhood of 350,000 square feet of exhibit space. And then, of course, we use some of the behind-the-scenes space for storage, seminar areas, and that kind of stuff. So we utilize the entire facility.
Well, it turned out that even the show would spill over because you would be looking at different ways to use the water outside and the green spaces and everything else like that to accommodate all the people that wanted to be a part of the show. But at the same time, the people that are attending, you don't want to feel like they're a bunch of sardines walking around in a can. You wanted them to have this experience of being able to see all there was to see there. And you guys always did a great job in doing that.
Well, it a lot of effort went into it. You know, a lot of people, you know, don't think about it, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't have to. You know, if any of us go, if we ever get to go back and see a motion picture again in a theater, and, you know, you go to a theater, you sit down, and you're supposed to enjoy the picture. You're not supposed to be thinking about the hundreds of behind-the-scenes cast members that made it happen and the millions of dollars it took to produce it. I mean, that's not really why you're there. You're there for the enjoyment of that production, and we feel the same way. I mean, we work constantly on that show. I mean, when we were at the show, while it was happening, we were making notes and taking photographs and working on the following year's show while we were there. And so it is a year-round job, and it takes a tremendous amount of effort, and you get out of it what you put into it. You know, if you really want to pay attention to all the details and try to work them out throughout the year, then the end result is obviously better. And that's what we always have strived to do.
Hey, Mike, we got to take a break right now. Can I ask you to stay on with us a little bit longer? Because I want to talk to you about what you're doing with kids and some of the work that you're doing with the CCA, and who knows what other surprises might be in store for us before the end of the show. Can you stay with us a little longer?
Absolutely, I will. Thank you.
All right. We're speaking with Mike Lum. Wendy and I will be back after these messages.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to LensandCharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience.
Have you dreamed of experiencing the world-class in and offshore fishing off the exotic tropical Pacific coast of mainland Mexico? Why not fish the sailfish capital of the world, Manzanillo, Mexico, with the folks you know and trust, Cedros Outdoor Adventures. In Manzanillo, you can find roosterfish, sailfish, marlin, tuna, dorado, and more, all within 20 miles of the shore. Our friends at Cedros Outdoor Adventures are offering an all-inclusive travel package to Manzanillo that makes your winter fishing dreams a reality for a special price of $21.95. Cedros Outdoor Adventures is a name you learn to trust for safety and value, but these trips are available for a limited time only, starting this fall through March 2021.
Learn further trip details and make your reservation at CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com or call at 619-793-5419.
Rod & Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
Well, Wendy Turner-Shahar and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Our special guest this hour is Mike Lum. And, you know, Mike, earlier we were talking about how you have helped businesses get a foothold in the industry and expand, and you've seen them come and go, and you've seen them start from seedlings and grown into giant trees. Well, we just happen to have a special guest caller that probably started off as one of these, you know, fledgling companies that you have helped over the years with the Fred Hall shows. I want to bring him on now. Special guest caller, can you identify yourself? And you are speaking with Mike Lum. Welcome to Rod and Reel Radio.
Thank you. Hey, Mike, it's Dave Pfeiffer.
Oh, hi, Dave. There's a friendly voice.
How are you?
So nice to hear from you. You know, I'm doing just fine. Doing fine. Trying to adjust to this, to all of this, but doing fine. Thank you.
Well, that's great. I tell you, that introduction couldn't have been more spot on because Mike, you and I have known each other a long, long time, and I would consider that Shimano was a fledgling company, and I was certainly a fledgling person in this industry when I met you, and you did an awful lot for Shimano, and I don't know your listeners, all the listeners may know or not, but you were tough in the early days, rightly so, but you were a tough one, but it made me better and made our company better.
Well, yeah. Shimano is definitely a company that grew from a single reel introduction to really the biggest in the industry, the most well-known in the industry, and you guys earned every step of that, Dave. It wasn't didn't look like anything was accidentally handed to you. It was you guys did a great job, and I think back on all the manufacturers, and you were one of the companies that would listen to what people said and make adjustments accordingly, and oftentimes that's not the case, you know, and I think that had a lot to do with the steady growth that you guys have had and the pinnacle that you have achieved, and there's without question no manufacturer has ever maintained this level of dominance like you guys have, and I think it's well earned.
Guys, well, if I can interrupt, for you people that don't know who our special guest caller is, it is Mr. Dave Pfeiffer, and he is president of Shimano North American Fishing. And Dave, I want to ask you, you know, Shimano does so many shows around the country, both as consumer shows and in industry shows. Tell us about the importance of working with Mike and the Fred Hall shows that Shimano had experienced over the years.
Well, you know, the Fred Hall show was always like any other show that we did anywhere in the country, of course, because of the size, but just the fact that they would allow us to to do so many exciting and creative and different things, that just really made the difference. It wasn't just, you know, here's your 20 or 50 feet of space and do, you know, put your booth up and stand there and say hi. I mean, they've really just, we talked to Mike and to Bart, and it was whatever you guys want to do. Whatever you guys want to do, we'll make it happen. And I think that's just the testament, of course, to Bart, but also to Mike. And, you know, Mike mentioned that, you know, Shimano grew our business by listening to people, but we needed the right people to listen to. And Mike was always one of those people that would listen and be able to tell us the right things, tell us the things we needed to hear. And they gave us great advice on how to make a show successful, and then they let us do it. So I can't say enough about the Fred Hall shows and how great they've been, and of course how much we've missed it here recently.
Well, Mike, taking a big company like Shimano, I know, you know, a company like Wendy has with Iserline and myself with Anglers, that we're smaller players, but how would you take it and incorporate a major player, let's say like Shimano, because they had such a major footprint, yet at the same time, they were offering so many different services, whether it was reel repairs and information about products and seminars and everything like that. Tell us how important Shimano was to a Fred Hall show.
Well, there is no question. It was one of the major exhibits in the entire show, and it helped set the trend for other exhibitors who didn't, frankly, want to be outdone by their rival. And so it raised the bar across the entire gamut. And we work, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I've never separated the difference between a small booth and a large exhibitor. They're all equally important. And what we would do with Shimano, we would work with them more closely when it came to booth placement. And there have been, over the years, a couple of requests that they have made that, frankly, at the time just seemed impossible. But we managed, I think, every time to get those moves accomplished. And one of the reasons that we do that is they support the efforts of a dozen retailers that are exhibiting in that show. And we wanted to make sure that they were positioned correctly so that they could get the most, so Shimano could get the most out of the show, and that they could help their retailers efficiently. And so booth placement surrounding their exhibit is key. And so we would start with something that Shimano might ask for, and it would sometimes take us months to figure out how it could all work. And then finally, once we got that, we'd say, okay, we got that, and it's on the map. Now let's contact these people that need to be integral to Shimano, and let's see how we can position them. And, of course, while that was going on, the same exercise is going on with a half a dozen other major exhibitors. And so at times it became quite the puzzle. It was like putting a jigsaw puzzle together upside down so you can't see the pieces and then occasionally have the shape change. At some point you say, I think this is impossible, but we managed to do a good job at that so that the factories and the retailers both benefited.
Dave, I also want to thank you, not only as a dealer, but an attendee of the show, for when I came to the show and I would see Shimano there, you had resources there that I would never have access to, whether it be the engineers, the management people, the repair people, the pros that would be there to show us how to use the product. A show like just the Fred Hall show in Long Beach maybe sometimes had to be a logistical nightmare for you, because then you'd go back to the shop and you'd go, there was no one else there because they were there at the show. But you made it possible for us to really enjoy a Fred Hall show and be a part of the industry. We want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say. And again, I mean, speaking, can't say enough about how important the Fred Hall show has always been for us. We actually made it a point that the Fred Hall show became an introduction period for us, or an introduction event for new products, not just the trade show in July. And, you know, the ICAST show is, we use the Fred Hall as a major launching point for a lot of new products. And we always tried to make those products the products that we sold a lot of on the West Coast. But, you know, but anyway, it really speaks to how much that the team that Mike and everybody did to allow us to put on the kind of event that we, you know, that we really needed to. And then for them to draw the people where all of the things that all of you have mentioned made sense, because they were able to bring the people in that made it worthwhile.
You know, we're speaking with Mike Lum, and we're also speaking with Dave Pfeiffer, who is the president of Shimano North American Fishing. And Mike and Dave, and Dave, I want to start with you. You know, Wendy just brought this to my attention, too, and we've got to notice it. And we want to thank you, what you have done for fishermen through the CCA, and especially, Dave, let me start with you, with the work that you've done bringing Shimano and the horses that Shimano has in the industry to make the projects to help fishermen successful. Thank you for your work there.
Oh, well, thank you for saying so. You know, CCA is just so important, and I believe in it passionately as an angler, and I believe in it as a business. And I've seen the good work that CCA can do all across the country. And so having CCA Cal, you know, formed and become a successful voice for the angler is just, it's just such an important thing that all of us can do. And so thank you for your kind words. And I want to thank Mike for everything that he's done for CCA Cal too.
Yeah. Dave, I know you've had a long day. You started early on the water and everything else like that. I appreciate you giving time with us to be with us and to talk with Mike too. And if I can, if we can at some date, maybe in 2021, ask you to come on as a guest along to tell us a little more about Shimano and things we should know. We'd definitely like to extend an invitation to you.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And Mike, thank you for everything. I saw the news about your change in plans, and I wish you nothing but the best. And I know I'll see you at some point down the road, but you know, you've done so much for our industry, and it's just, you know, it's hard to say thank you to someone for a lifetime of work in a business and in an industry that's so important to all of us. So thank you so much, and wish you nothing but the best, and look forward to, as we say, seeing you now, as we all say, at some point down the road. So all the best.
Well, I appreciate that, Dave. I appreciate hearing from you on that, and I have no intention of leaving this industry. I am going to stay actively involved in CCA. I'm going to continue to do the Friends of Rollo, and I'm going to be figuring out what I'm going to do with the rest of my time. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm just changing hats.
Well, good deal. And I figured as much. So I look forward to seeing you. And John, thank you so much for having me on. You guys have a wonderful rest of the show.
Thanks for taking the time to be with us, especially since you're three time zones away. Thanks again. And we look forward again to seeing you at the shows and talking with you. Better yet, why don't we all meet on the water? That's a good thing, isn't it?
That sounds even better to me.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Dave Pfeiffer from Shimano. And Mike, we were talking a little bit about CCA, and I know through the horsepower that you had with the Fred Hall shows that CCA became a passion of yours, and also the Fred Hall shows too. And as you said, that's going to continue no matter what happens.
Absolutely. It's vitally important. It's more than just having a passion for it. It is an obligation and a responsibility that all anglers should share in supporting CCA. And my dream is that at some point they realize it and that they feel like they are somehow not being responsible anglers if they do not support CCA. It is that important. This is not just another group that's going to pop up and be here for a few years and go away. This is not a group with an agenda, with a special hidden agenda. This is a group of avid anglers and industry leaders that are giving their time and their money to form an organization that will last for years to come, and along the way will maintain a level of fishing access and without undue regulations for all anglers. And honestly, when you look at the fact that we have over a million annual licenses sold in the state of California, we need to get to the point where 10% of those anglers are CCA supporters. Now, that doesn't sound like a big number, but 10% can carry the weight of the entire state when it comes to angling. And we need to get there. And the only way we're going to get there is for everybody that's listening to say, you know what, I gotta join CCA Cal and find out what this is about, and continue to support them financially. Doesn't have to be a lot. Membership's only $35 a year, so that's not an excuse for anybody. If you will make it a point to join CCA Cal and keep your dues paid once a year, it will do a lot to make sure that we have a future down the road in fishing. Because if this organization were not here and was not growing and thriving, it would be pretty dark looking ahead, because there's a lot of forces that would like to see fishing curtailed. And we need to have an organization that's strong enough financially and with enough people to make sure that doesn't happen. And it's certainly doable. We are doing it. We've made great strides in the few years that we've been going. And I would encourage anybody that has any interest at all to just go to their website. Go to ccacalifornia.org, ccacalifornia spelled out .org, and just take a quick glance at some of the accomplishments that have been made, and then look at the list of board members that are listed there. And you'll say to yourself, I want to be one of the people that are supporting CCA, so that I can at least sleep at night knowing I'm doing my part to make sure that my kids and my grandkids can continue to fish in California. That's how I feel about it.
Mike, Wendy, did you have something to say?
Yeah, you know, I just want to say that Mike hit the nail on the head, and he was absolutely correct in that every single angler, even though it's just 10, he says 10%, every angler, anybody, recreational angler who enjoys fishing really should become a member. I mean, it's key for our success, and we're the only organization that supports recreational anglers in California.
Yes, and you know, 2021 is and beyond is going to be really important years for us as anglers to defend the right to fish that we like, because we know for sure that the budgets of a lot of the government organizations are going to be cut, which usually means services are cut that would benefit to us. We're dealing with administrations on a state and now on a national level that are not necessarily pro-hunting, pro-fishing, that are very extremist, environmentally conscious, and the organizations like CCA are the people that we need to represent us and for our right to hunt. And Mike, we want to thank you and Wendy and Stan and Wayne for all the work that they do in our behalf. Hey,
well,
let's
it's not something I feel like I have an option. You know, it's just not.
Yeah.
And I know Wendy feels the same way. You know, we have a lot to do, and we could easily occupy the time we spend on this doing something else productive, but this is vital. This is vitally important, and I wish everyone would look at it that way.
You know, Mike, we go back and we look at the Fred Hall shows, and I know Bart has said this many times, and you've mentioned it too. The number of people that come to this show and are introduced to the outdoors, whether or not they come from a rural environment or they come from a city environment, to see the beauty, the excitement that they get from being involved with the outdoors, fishing. And you have taken it sort of like your passion to introducing kids to fishing to sort of like the next level. And that's in your work that you've done with the Captain Rollins Kids at Sea program. Tell us a little bit about what this program is about and what that organization is doing.
Well, thank you for that opportunity. That truly is a passion of mine. The organization was formed in 1999. The name of the nonprofit organization is Friends of Rollo. And for those people that know the history, Rollo was a very popular captain that worked aboard and ran the Royal Polaris out of San Diego. And when he passed away, his friends literally got together and said, we can't let his memory die. We're going to form a nonprofit organization, and we're going to raise money, and we're going to take kids on their first ocean fishing trip. And You know, I'm sure there have been a lot of organizations that have started with the best of intentions like that, and they may last a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then fade away. Well, Friends of Rollo has been going strong since 1999, and I got heavily involved in it about 10 years ago, largely because of the involvement with the Fred Hall shows and watching what they were doing and how they were trying to raise money. And I just had I had some ideas, and I went to them and said, hey, I'd like to give you some ideas. And more importantly, I'd like to actually get involved and do them. And lots of people have good suggestions and ideas, but a lot of times it's, I've got a great idea. Here's what you ought to do. And I approached it a little differently. And it's been a very, very rewarding 10 years that I've been working with them and seeing this grow. We take on a year that's non-COVID, we take between 5,000 and 6,000 kids a year on their first ocean fishing trip. And the way it works very simply is any group of children, it could be from a public school, it could be from a church, it could be a Boy Scout troop, it could be from an orphanage of some kind, and if they have someone there that would like to take the kids fishing, all they have to do is contact us and say, I've got 40 kids, can I take them fishing, and will you pay for it, is basically how it works. And so we do that over and over and over each year, granting trips for other organizations to take their kids on their first ocean fishing trip. And in a normal year, we will charter over 100 boats in the course of a year and load them up with kids. And these are kids that a lot of them live 20 minutes from the ocean and have never seen it, never seen the ocean, let alone been on a boat. Not all the kids are from that situation, but many, many are. And so to date, we have taken roughly 135,000 kids on their first ocean fishing trip, and we've been at it long enough now. Some of those kids are now grown up. Some of them are now captains and running boats that we fish on that were exposed the very first time because of this program. So I feel very, very strongly about this program, and I know that even if the kids don't become avid anglers as a result, that really isn't the point. It's so that they have an appreciation for marine resources and a respect for what's out there. And most of the kids are mesmerized when they see bait in the bait tank for the first time. That's like huge. I've never seen anything like that. Just seeing the sea lions on the jetty as we leave the harbor and getting to see the starfish, you know, that are around the docks. And then, of course, all the shorebirds and then the fishing is all on top of that. So it's an extremely popular program. We're limited only by the amount of money that we raise. Takes us roughly $30 per kid to take them out. And so we ask for donations, and we ask for used fishing tackle to be donated, which we collect and sell annually to raise money. We are implementing a new program starting here. I think they just kicked it off today, but we really haven't, not today, this week, but we really haven't honed it, and we really haven't promoted it. But what we're going to ask and what we're going to start promoting is sponsor. We're going to ask people to sponsor a number of kids, and they can do that with a very small recurring once-a-month donation. So you put your credit card or your debit card in, and you say, I want to pay $5 a month. Or I want to pay $10 a month, or somebody that really believes in the program, I want to give $50 a month, whatever it is, it makes no difference. And then each month your credit card will be debited that, and then you take as many kids fishing a year as you would like to sponsor. You know, if you want to take 10 kids a year, then it would be $300 divided by 12 payments, and that number is what you'd put in there, and you're under no obligation. You can cancel it whenever you want, but it's a very easy and painless way to know that you're doing a lot to turn some kids' lives around. And so we're going to be pushing that pretty hard going forward. Large corporations that have X amount of dollars a year that they want to donate to charities, we do our best to make sure they're aware of us and we're successful in getting some of those. Most of our donations come from individuals in the various events that we do each year. We have various raffles and different prizes and different things. Most people that have been to a Fred Hall show are very familiar with the Rollo program. The organization is still called Friends of Rollo. However, the kids fishing program has been marketed the last 4 years under the name Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea, because it does a much better job explaining what it is we do. So the Captain Rollo's Kids at Sea program is alive and well, and even though this year has been challenging because we haven't been able to attend many events, we have had a wonderful, successful year with raising money, and we've been able to take kids fishing, not nearly as many as we have in a normal year, but we have gotten kids out on the water this year, fewer kids on the boats, and not as many of them, but we're expecting 2021 to let us resume our normal schedule, and we need all the support we can get.
You know, Mike, you can't do this without owners, operators, and vessels helping you out. Can you just give us the name of some of the people that have been instrumental in helping you reach this goal of introducing so many kids to this great sport that we all love?
Yes, absolutely. We take kids from the San Diego area all the way up to the Bay Area in San Francisco. We book trips all up and down the coast. And so the way it works is if someone says, hey, I got 40 kids or 35 kids or 50 kids, whatever it is, we will attempt to match them up with the boat and the landing that is most accommodating for them and their group. We try to do as many of them on weekdays as possible, because those are the best times to get the boats at a reduced price, which they are very generous in helping us with that. All of them do a great job, and we have a lot of support from a lot of landings and a lot of boats. I will say, above and beyond, the folks at Dana Wharf Sport Fishing probably are more involved with the Captain Rollo Kids at Sea program than any other landing. They seem to just absolutely go out of their way to accommodate our requests and our needs. And so we end up taking a lot of trips out of there. But we do charter boats all the way, like I say, all the way up into the Bay Area and San Diego. So we cover a lot of ground.
So it isn't just fishing, too. Can it be whale watching and nature studies, too, or is it more fishing oriented?
Well, it always includes fishing, but by all means, the purpose is to get the kids out on the water and let them experience it. I don't know. I don't, off the top of my head, recall anybody requesting a whale watch trip. And I'm not sure, actually, that it would work as well, because what happens quite often, as you might realize, the whale watching trips take a lot more passengers because they don't have to fish. And so the bait tanks are dry, and so people go out and look for the whales. I'm not saying that we wouldn't entertain the idea. We certainly would, but I can't off the top of my head remember doing it. So.
All right, Mike. Obviously, our time is coming to an end over here. And, you know, as we've kind of alluded to, that at this time, you're no longer currently with the fishing shows, but you're deeply involved with the CCA and also involved with the Friends of Rollo program. How do people stay in contact with you if they want to, you know, get up to date with what you're doing? Maybe they've got something that they want the CCA to do, or they can do for the CCA or Friends of Rollo. How do we stay in contact with you, sir?
Well, you can certainly contact me. This whole transition and change has happened very suddenly, so I'm not really up to speed with changing some things around, but you could contact me either by going to my Facebook page, Mike Lum. That's very easy to find, and you can always message me through there. You can also send an email to the folks at Friends of Rollo. The Rollo website, by the way, is easily accessed at rollokids.org, rollokids.org, and you could send a message through there. And then, of course, the CCA website I mentioned is CCACalifornia.org, and you could also reach me through there. And We would love to answer any questions and talk to anybody that's interested in supporting either organization.
All right. Mike Glum, thank you for spending your Sunday with us. It was great catching up with what you've been into and what you're doing in the future and stuff like that. When news breaks that you're getting into something else that you think would be of interest to not only us, but our listening audience, will you please contact us and we'll be sure to get you on?
I absolutely will do that, and I hope that that happens fairly soon.
Okay. Thank you, Mike Glum, for giving of yourself to us tonight. We will stay in contact with you, sir.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Welcome to the
club. Well, Wendy, that's it for now, and this is the last show for 2020. Thank you very much for your contributions this year, Wendy.
Oh, why, thank you, and thank you for having me, and hopefully I'll see you next year.
All right, you know that. As I said to Dave Pfeiffer and Michael, hopefully it'll be on the water. That'll be great.
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for tonight. Thanks a lot for listening to us. Hey, we want to thank our AM 540 producer, Otto, for always going above and beyond the duty to keep us on the air. Our local producer, Ben Harvey, and always in memory of Big Tuna Bill and Kuhn that started this show. Oh, I also want to thank our other co-host, Stan Vandenberg, for his contributions. And always, in memory of Paul Leader, thank you, everyone. We look forward to more live shows and a lot of great entertainment in 2021. Until then, thank you, everyone.